From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. Whether you're from Champaign-Urbana and you're a townie, or you moved here from out of state, we're all interested in what's going on around the block. This year marks the fifth round of the Gertz Gallery exhibition at Parkland College, Around the Block, Artists from Our Neighborhood, a juried community exhibition of regional artists. Today on Dialogue, we're talking with BIPOC artists from around our neighborhood who represented our community at Gertz Gallery and each told a unique story through their work.
Well, the Gertz Gallery, we usually have about six shows a year. And so we have some group shows and we have some solo exhibitions and we have a student show and a faculty show. But I was thinking about how could we get, you know, local artists to have a show, and, you know, the summer is a perfect time. And so I talked to Kelly White, and Kelly White is the executive director of 40 North, and so we decided to collaborate because I wasn't sure I could kind of pull it off. I'm the only full-time person in my area. So I thought, oh, can I do that myself? And so she was really great, and so now this is our fifth time we've done an Around the Block exhibition.
That's Lisa Costello, the gallery director at Parkland College's Gertz Gallery, and she's been here for 20 years. Lisa is the mind behind the Around the Block, Artists from Our Neighborhood. The exhibition ran from June 12th to July 24th, 2025. The gallery featured work from 84 local and regional artists, from emerging talents to seasoned professionals.
So in this exhibit that we're here today, tell us a little bit about what we're seeing, a little bit about the artist, just your interpretation as the viewer.
Sure, yeah. Well, there's 84 pieces in the show. So we've got painting, sculpture, ceramics. We've got a piece that spins on a Lazy Susan, which is kind of interesting. And we've got a lot of prints, photos. So it's just a variety of things that, you know, there's something for everyone in the exhibit. And so it's a really great, it's very colorful as well. So I've really enjoyed it, looking at it this summer. And every time I go in, it's kind of fun to hear people talking about the work. So, you know, sometimes someone will know the artist or something like that, and they'll be like, oh, that's my neighbor, you know. So that's really great that, you know, kind of has come around full circle, you know. It's pretty terrific.
So over the years, just being able to have this be a regional show, are there some constant themes or anything that you've seen pop up for artists to say, I am from Champaign County, and these are some ways that I show and tell and express that?
Well, that's really interesting. That's a great question. I think that everybody is just kind of, you know, communicating what they love and what they're interested in making. Some people are doing more social commentary, but other people are just like really exploring a different material, things like that. So I think there are typically a lot of landscapes. We have, you know, because we have such a beautiful landscape here in the Midwest, and we do see quite a few of those. And some figurative work, so, you know, it's hard to say. I don't think there's like a really strong theme. And we don't have a theme for the show. We're just, you know, we have a juror every year, so that kind of rotates, and I try to get someone different every time, maybe from a different like professional background and things like that. So we've had a museum director, we've had a arts council director, we've had a private gallerist jury the show, and this time we had Josh Fairbanks, who is the assistant director at the School of the Art Institute, the galleries there. And so he started out as a student here, and then he transferred to the U of I and, you know, really got his start, you know, working. He worked at Gertz Gallery, then he worked at Cranford Art Museum, moved up to Chicago. So he's doing really great, and it was really nice to have him come back and jury the show because he really felt like he knows this community. He's exhibited here. So that was a really nice thing to have happen, you know.
Josh Fairbanks, this year's juror, had this to say. This exhibition captures a community, not fixed in a single idea or identity, but that speaks to a broader landscape of making in this moment. From painters to sculptors, photographers to mixed media artists, you'll discover the incredible range of creative voices that call our area home. If you're an art lover or you're just curious about what your neighbors are creating, today we're speaking with three local artists featured in this exhibit. First up is Shari Gonzalez. As a lifelong artist and a graduate in painting from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, her work ranges from realistic charcoal portraits to oil still lifes and colorful squishmallow cartoons. Shari was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis a few years ago, and while it changed the ways in which she can produce art, it hasn't stopped her from creating impactful art inspired by the quiet moments in life. In the midst of her evolution as an artist, she even started an online business. I met up with Shari at the Around the Block closing reception, where I got to see her piece and learn more about her process.
So, like, the artwork that I have at the exhibit at Parkland currently is a self-portrait of me sitting with my walker. And I've always enjoyed making self-portraits because, like, I feel like the only story that I can tell perfectly is, you know, my own, because I know myself the best. And I was more or less recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So, like, it's been a chronic illness I've been, like, dealing with for a handful of years, and more or less like this year I've finally come to terms, or more or less acceptance of myself within the disability community, just because it's a community that everybody needs to respect, because at one point or another you have no control when you join into said community. You just have to be willing to accept accessibility and be promoting, I guess, accessibility. And with my self-portrait, I was hoping to like inflict some sort of like emotion for people to understand that, like, even with people who use accessibility aids, like, they're longing, that's the name of my portrait, longing for like a better change for the future or for themselves. And overall, like, the exclusion that one may feel within the chronic illness community, like, they always have a place, you know, like, to feel included. All they want is to feel included.
So walk us through what it was like creating your piece today, Longing. How long did it take you? The colors you use in it, just like describe it in like vivid detail.
So Longing is a self-portrait of me. I am sitting using my walker, looking out like longingly into the distance. My self-portrait is made out of charcoal, so it's actually a black and white drawing. And so, like, me sitting in this on my walker, if you don't know what a walker is, it's like a, or my particular walker is like a four-wheeled mechanic, I guess, that like helps me walk around and guides me, I guess. And so, like, I'm sitting on my walker looking outward, and I am wearing like a pretty skirt dress. And so, like, I have the shading of like the ruffles. And then, like, the background of the portrait is kind of like blank, since like the main focus is supposed to be me, I guess, or the self-portrait. But like another aspect of shading that I've been really called out for is the wood etchings on the ground, because I just put a lot of effort in also the floor of the portrait, just to establish, like, you know, like, it's a real space and time. And so, like, and yeah, and then the window that I'm looking out is like blank, and it's kind of like blank on purpose, because again, just longing is supposed to be like I'm longing for like a future, or for like a space that isn't yet built, or like just a space where, like, it's a bright possibility, you know, because it's white.
Since this exhibit is called Around the Block, what was your experience just growing up in this area?
Since I was born in Urbana-Champaign and I grew up in Urbana, I think the experience was pretty nice. It was a really safe community overall. I do know that within Urbana, there's the Latino communities and all different districts of kinds. And I do believe it has grown a lot since then and definitely has improved. More specifically, in the schooling districts of kind, some sorts. For instance, I have a little brother. He is going through the same schooling that I went through. He even went to the same elementary school and whatnot. And just, seeing the, change, especially for the Latino community and how it's improved, in between, my generation and then his generation. It's really nice to see the improvement. But it was always a great community, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And are you just Latino or multiracial?
So both of my parents are from Mexican descent, but within my mom's side, her grandparents, so my great grandparents, were African Mexican, if that makes sense. So I do have features, I guess, if you would say, of my great grandparents. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned that because my mom, again, she has most of the features of her grandparents, because all my aunts and uncles are more or less white passing in comparison to my family. But we're still beautiful.
Okay, so an opposite of the question I just asked you, how has your disability inspired you to keep creating art?
Yeah, no, it's inspired me a lot ever since high school. Again, I've always loved making self-portraits and things about me because, again, that's the muse that I know the best. And so with my disability, it's been helping broaden my mind in different genres on how to create either self-portraits or other artworks that people can also relate to. Because something that I've learned about when starting making more art, especially for people to buy at markets or in my online store, is just relatability. Because sure, somebody can like my self-portrait, but I need to broaden my artistic field into making it so then even more people enjoy my artwork and actually want to own it, if that makes sense. And I feel that's also just a big part about longing too, because it's the overall me wanting to be accepted within a community, but then also me accepting the community and being more understanding of others and vice versa. Receiving it. Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like people to know about being an artist with a disability?
My favorite artist is Frida Kahlo, ever since I was a little girl. And it was mainly because of her Latinidad and her strong emotions and self-portraiture. But now, as an adult, also with a disability and understanding Frida Kahlo's disability and art, I think we both kind of have the same more or less goal in artistic field. We just want to be understood and people understand our stories, understand our pain, but then also just accept us as how we are, because we don't want to change for people. July specifically actually is Disability Awareness Month or Pride Month, and it's just more or less we don't want to be sorry for taking up too much space. It's more or less we just want to be in the space. We take up space, but not in a bad way. We're here, and we're here and we're proud to be here.
Shari Gonzalez, thank you so much for speaking with me about your art today.
Yes, no, thank you so much for having me. It was so nice. Thank you.
To see some of Shari's work, you can visit her Instagram at elegant.easel. At the closing reception for Around the Block, Artists from Our Neighborhood, I was joined by another talented local artist, Annalise Rhodes. They're a recent art and design graduate from Parkland Community College and are currently studying graphic design at the University of Illinois. Annalise specializes in digital art, full of dreamy colors that sometimes feature original fantasy-esque characters.
I'm Annalise Rhodes. I use they, them pronouns. I'm a non-binary artist from here from Champaign-Urbana. And I really, really love, I love digital painting. I'm so bad at traditional and mixing paint. Digital paint is just like my favorite thing to do.
So tell us, what exactly is digital painting?
Oh, okay. So you usually use a computer program like, well, most people know Photoshop, but I actually use a free app called Krita. People out there, you know, they build their own brushes, they mimic like real life effects like watercolor or like using pencil and stuff like that. And you can actually use layers and things, pick exact colors. It makes it so easy when you mess something up entirely because you can just, you know, go back.
Yeah. So how did you get started in art?
Oh, I've done it my whole life. Yeah. When I was a kid, I really loved using MS Paint, even though I didn't really know how to do it. And I'd always like with the little pixel by pixel, the terrible little paintbrush, like draw my favorite characters. Like they used to have these commercials on TV where they would teach you to draw like SpongeBob characters and stuff. Those things are my bread and butter. I love them.
Tell us about your piece today.
Okay, so mine is a golden gift. It's basically a representative of, I am part of an organization called the Society of Creative Anachronism, and it's basically a historical reenactment group.
Annalise's painting depicts an inviting Golden Valley-like landscape with dreamy trees that blend into swirling fluffy clouds. In the corner is a medieval clothed black woman wearing an outfit perfect for the Renaissance fair. She speaks merrily with a similarly dressed child as they show off their collection of items in a basket. Children chase each other in this golden valley, and it seems like everyone feels safe here, and it's their home. Their painting looks like a page out of a nostalgically comforting storybook.
And our local group is called Kara Gwynn, and as a college organization, basically our goal is to, you know, people come in and they move out and they leave, but we want to be able to teach them what they want to learn now so that they can go, you know, to wherever they're going and teach other people and join other groups and maybe even make their own.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about making a golden gift, like the whole process. How long did it take you? Like you said, you had studies to do for it. Kind of walk us through that process.
For the golden gift specifically, I did so many studies before I even started up specifically Baroque style art. And that stuff took forever, but I thought it really, like, I thought I really advanced in the end. So basically I looked for pieces from that era that had elements, color palettes that I was looking for. I really wanted like a nice, you know, a golden gift, a nice warm tone, maybe a nice bright sky, clouds and stuff. And then I would take the piece and I would just try to recreate it off to the side. And I would do that again and again and again and again for every single piece. And then once I digitally painted it, I think the whole thing took like 9 hours. The tree was the worst. It took 3 hours just on its own because I was really dedicated to just drawing every single leaf in the tree. But I think it really paid off.
So continuing to grow as a non-binary artist, person of color, what does that community space look like for you as well within the Urbana-Champaign area?
Most of the people I know who are other artists in this area are also like really into historical reenactment. So it's really a lot of going back to the ultimate basics, like learning like ancient ways to like mix paint and like dye fabric. And right now I just got into calligraphy and I'm having so much fun with that. I'm really just getting into a lot of disciplines that I wouldn't have seen otherwise and just incorporating it into what I'm doing now.
Annalise, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
To see some of Annalise's digital art, you can visit their Instagram at @QuarterGremlin. Also featured at the gallery was Dr. Nicole Anderson Cobb, a researcher, educator, activist, journalist, and an award-winning playwright and community volunteer. She utilizes mixed mediums in her artwork to tell stories about politics, contemplation, nature, and more. Originally from Chicago, Dr. Anderson Cobb now calls Champaign-Urbana home. She wasn't able to make the closing reception at Gertz Art Gallery, so we met up on Zoom to discuss her artwork journey.
I did a residency at Allerton a couple of years ago. A fellow theater maker, Latrell Bright, who is on faculty at the university. So it has been meaningful to make work locally, but it's also challenging when, you know, my work is informed by the moment, the politics. And so even when there's a residency, it was, you know, it's one thing to bring kind of paint to Allerton, but our project kind of really dug in to think about the history of Allerton. And there's a way in which that becomes a far more complicated undertaking. And so my artistic journey has been interesting. It has been complex at times. The residency that we had at Allerton was very intense. And so what I've done right now, I'm revisiting that residency in watercolor. We made theater at Allerton back when we had our residency in 2022, but I've really been inspired to go back and revisit that time. And so I've been working on a series of paintings that call Black at Allerton, you know, really thinking about what we did there, what kind of art we made, and what kind of community we made during that residency. Complex pieces, not necessarily easy, but really nourishing in terms of what's trying to make our mark and say we were here, we've occupied these spaces, and we've made work that we hope endures.
Absolutely. Speaking of pieces, can you tell us what your piece was in the Around the Block display?
It's the LB at Allerton piece.
Dr. Anderson Cobb's watercolor painting depicts a fall forest of warm, toned trees with a rushing river flowing through it. In the center is a Black woman who faces the river. Standing with her hands on her hips, she looks deep in thought, almost meditative, as she takes in the water and the important land before her.
One of the things about our residency is that we had 3 weeks at Allerton, but we stayed there and created work and invited people to come and be a part of that theater making. But there were times when we had free times and we would just walk the property and we would go down to the Sangamon just to, you know, to take a break or to have a snack, kind of talk as artists. And so that painting was really inspired by my collaborator, Latrell Bright. That's why it's called LB. And it was a day when she was down at the Sangamon and we were really thinking about our own place at Allerton, what it meant to be Black women creatives at Allerton. We were thinking about our project, which was to really memorialize the Potawatomi who had traversed this region, you know, as a result of their displacement. I have an image of Latrell at the Sangamon. And so it just inspired me to think about our work at Allerton, but also to think about the commemoration we were doing for our Indigenous siblings who had passed through that area. There were several who actually died on the banks of the Sangamon while they were being removed. And so that's kind of what inspired that piece.
You wear many hats. Being an artist is just one. You're a mother. You're also, like you said, an activist. Many of your pieces are saying something about the world, something about politics, and so much more. How does activism, especially today, right now, what we're going through, how does it inspire your artwork?
Ooh, profoundly. Yeah, it informs almost everything that I produce. Theater is a place where you could explore those ideas more readily. But I think painting has allowed me the opportunity to really edit. Sometimes it's not about, you know, having a 120-page script. Sometimes it's about making the figure in your painting brown. It's taking one bit of paint and making that individual Black or brown. That speaks volumes. Sometimes it's about, you know, your subject. Like I said, Black at Allerton. I've been working on a series that was really inspired by thinking about Black freedom and thinking about what it means to be Black outdoors. And I think that in so many instances, because we're constantly worried about surveillance, constantly worried about being in the wrong place at the wrong time, just creating work that depicts Black girls on a path or a Black child on a swing or a Black woman by the Sangamon. I think that to create work that just allows us to be in public space, to have joy in public space, to be together in public space without threat, that's kind of what the work is calling for in this moment.
This exhibition was called Around the Block. And what do you want your neighbors to know about art in this community and the artists who are showing up in this community?
Well, the creative community in Champaign-Urbana is alive and well. And there were some amazing pieces in every, you know, mixed media sculpture, paintings, tapestry, all kinds of productions. One of the ways that we can do more, I think, is to figure out how to bring art to spaces that it doesn't typically inhabit. I think that particularly with fine arts, I use the word fine kind of expansively, but I think that we have to do more to bring art to communities, particularly communities of color. There needs to be more better relationships between arts organizations and communities of color. Too often, individuals of color have to go to these kind of elevated spaces to present their work. And I think, you know, there are Black churches, there are Black spaces, there are spaces where communities of color where work can be. I think we got to think out of the box around where we can present art, which is what I think Boneyard did a great job. You know, my Boneyard exhibition was at a law firm. You know, you wouldn't think that someone would make a law firm available to exhibit art, but we had great traffic. We had great experiences. So I think we got to think out the box more about connecting art making and communities of color. And I think arts organizations have to do a better job of reaching out to communities of color.
Dr. Nicole Anderson Cobb, thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure and an honor to speak with you.
Oh, it was wonderful to speak with you as well.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Shori Gonzalez, Annalise Rhodes, and Dr. Nicole Anderson Cobb's artwork definitely had a story to tell. With this being a gallery exhibit to display art from around the neighborhood, I wanted to know, what role does art play in building community? Here's Shori and Dr. Anderson Cobb.
Yeah, no, of course I think art does have its role on creating community. Like, if it weren't for art, mostly anything wouldn't be around, if that makes sense. Like, without artwork, like, I feel like the world wouldn't go round without the creativity of others and also the communication of said artwork. So, you know, I think artwork has a lot of importance in the world, and thanks to Parkland, I feel like this exhibition just helped at least me understand that, like, oh yes, the community is actually very happy to see artists and artwork, especially since, like, opening reception and even closing reception is really jam-packed at the moment. And so like it helped me at least solidify that, like, yes, other people care about art and not just me nerding out thinking that, like, that, like, just me.
We are a community that spends a lot of time meeting to talk about the issues that plague us. We do a lot of talking. And I would challenge our stakeholders to think about, we need to talk about mental health matters. I think we've got to begin to create some space for art making. I think we underestimate the value of being creative together. We underestimate the importance of being able to collaborate and build instead of tearing each other down. And we talk too much. We talk far too much. And I think that if we can come together and paint, color, knit, collage, mural, I think that there are ways that we have to mirror working collaboratively on something, because we know how to be divisive. We know how to get in our corner with all our words and opinions and perspectives and to do harm. But if we can model creativity and model collaboration and do that for our young people, and help them understand that there are other answers behind words and violence, we can make some progress.
Art has a role to play in building community, whether it be depicting the joy of a local reenactment organization and all that it has to offer, or being a starting place for conversation around disability. Artists play a vital role in any society, and we have plenty right here on Our Block. For Dialogue, I'm Kennedy Vincent.